You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
I'm realizing more and more that the most precious thing in life is relationships. It's the only thing that you'll take on into eternity. Everything else is going to stay here. And so as time goes on, in the beginning you have a relationship with friends, you go to school, and you really don't know what God has intended for the future. But I feel so rich today having so many friends from this part of the world that God has placed us and Greece in their hearts, and we can serve the Lord together by sharing the same spirit about being excited about what God is doing. And so I'm really happy to be back. I'm a missionary kid that grew up in Indonesia as a missionary kid. And then we went to Greece, which was my own country because my parents were Greek. So I don't really belong anywhere. But Canada is kind of a second home for me. I feel very much at home when I come here. So the Lord has placed something in my heart to share as we travel across Canada. So I want to share something from the Word first. And so I'll just open up with a word of prayer and get started here. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. To be able to congregate even amongst these very strange times. And we know, Lord, that you are unchanging in a world that's changing constantly around us. And we pray that you just bless your word in our hearts this morning. In your name I pray, amen. So the passage is from Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. I'm just going to read this passage really quickly here. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, and that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So I've titled this Acquaintance or Relationship. What is it going to be with Jesus? What is your relationship going to be? Is it going to be an acquaintance or is it going to be a relationship? And we see that the main theme of this chapter is that God is offering forgiveness of sins and desires to enter into a relationship with us, free from bondage. So the question I just want you to have as we're just going through this passage is, how will you respond? What is it that... How will you respond, and how is it that God will want you to respond? So I just want to clarify something, because there's a bit of a confusion with this passage. There's another passage that's also very similar, and a lot of people confuse it. It's found in Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and in John 12. Just to give you a little bit of a background, both accounts share some things in common. Both accounts have a setting in a house where Jesus is invited for a meal. Both passages have a woman and expensive perfume that are poured on Jesus, to which someone objects. In one incident, the woman's name is Mary, brother of Lazarus and sister of Martha. In Luke 7, in this account, the woman's name is not even mentioned. In the one incident, the home Jesus is invited belonged to Simon the leper. And in Luke 7, it is the house of a Pharisee named Simon. In the one incident that takes place in Bethany, which is a southern region, in opposed to today's reading, which takes place in the northern regions of Nain and Capernaum. But both events, so similar, but in actual fact, they're very separate accounts. And in verse 36, we see that Jesus responds to an invitation by Simon the Pharisee for a meal in his home. And Jesus does this often. People invite him even though he's very busy. And many times we see him responding. We see this with Zacchaeus. We see this in another portions of Scripture that we read about. His greatest desire is to enter into a relationship with people that are willing to receive him. In Revelation 3:20, we see this very clearly. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in him and will dine with him and he with me. So you have to understand something about the Eastern culture. A relationship doesn't exist unless it's over food. Like, food is very important to the Eastern culture. And so a lot of their relationships take place and they grow deep around a meal. And we see this even in the Western corporate world. If there's a big business deal, lots of times it's over a meal at an expensive restaurant. So we see here that Jesus immediately responds to this invitation, and he makes himself comfortable. It says that he reclines at the table. He just totally makes himself comfortable. And in Greece, we actually sit at a table like the Western world, but we're a bit of a culture that's mixed. We're East and West in Greece. So I can say that it's the only country that when you say West, it's West of Greece. And when you say East, it's completely East, the Eastern culture. So we're a little bit of a hybrid or a mix. So we have a lot of these elements where a relationship is far more valuable than time. Time's important, but not as important as a relationship. And so we would see that in this Eastern culture, they would sit down on the floor, laying down in a very laid-back fashion. So their legs would kind of be away from the table, leaning on their arm, and then they would either be eating off a very low table or else right off the floor. So this is the scene that Jesus is in. It's very relaxed with the people that have invited him. And in verse 37 to 88, we read here, "And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume." So while Jesus is reclining at the table there, enjoying the meal with these friends or people that had befriended him, this intrusion takes place. And all we know about this woman that the text implies here is that she is a sinner. And this, usually in this context, meant that she was a prostitute. The text doesn't even mention her name, which is an important thing to note. She's just a complete stranger. She obviously had heard that Jesus was at this particular house, and she must have had some prior encounter with this man. Perhaps she was in the crowd while he was teaching. We do not know more details except that her actions reveal that she must have recognized Jesus for who he was. She definitely had understood that this man was worthy of her devotion and sacrifice. She knew she was not worthy, but that he was. And in the other account, there's been a lot of studies that have shown that this alabaster was even a year's worth of wage, some scholars have said. So it was something that was a huge, huge sacrifice for this woman. So she gave everything that she had. Through this woman's actions, she displayed a repentant heart, a stance of total humility and adoration. She would give anything and everything to worship and be in the presence of Jesus. She senses that she will not be condemned by this man, but will find rest and restitution. This woman is experiencing Matthew 11, 28 to 30 in real time. And the text says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Bill Galtier, in his book, Your Best Life in Jesus, and Jesus' Easy Yoke, states, "Would you count the seconds before you could jump into the arms of your Heavenly Father? Would you have that kind of expectancy for Jesus? When was the last time you felt excited to connect with your Heavenly Father?" The text here really brings out this woman's passion and devotion to be in Jesus' presence. In verse 39, we read, "And now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner.'" And we see this many times in the New Testament as we read about Jesus, that he's drawn to the people that are in need of a Savior. He's drawn to the sinners who are deep in sin. So here we see that Simon is starting to show the true colors of a typical Pharisee. Pharisees throughout the New Testament have gotten a bad reputation of being hypocrites. Jesus himself was not very fond of them, to say the least. He called them broad vipers and whitewashed tombs, basically labeling them as empty religion. So Pharisees, they loved to act very self-righteous and always had a holier-than-thou attitude, something that many of us can fall into this kind of trap. So Jesus decides to speak into the situation in order to clarify the truth. So we read on in verses 40 to the end here. "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' And he replied, 'Say it, teacher.'" And I think many people were stumped because they forget that Jesus was God. So he could turn on God anytime he wanted, and he knew exactly what people were thinking. And he would expose the motive. "And he replied and said, 'Say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more?'" And I love Jesus' way of teaching. He always used illustrations and stories, which we call parables. "So Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have judged correctly.' And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet and with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume.'" And this was borderline a disgrace for a family in the East. When you had guests, hospitality was something that was very, very, very high in the culture. So this Pharisee wasn't even reaching the culture standard. "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, 'Your sins have been forgiven.' And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this man who even forgives sins?' And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Simon's unrepentant heart caused pride to blind him of his actual spiritual state and relationship with Jesus. In verses 40 to 43, Jesus points out that Simon has not understood forgiveness of sins. He could not see his need for repentance. And this brings us to realize that there are two types of Christians. A, there's a Pharisaical Christian, and B, there's a Christian who understands what it means to be saved by grace. A Pharisaical Christian are people that think they are okay before God because they have done all the right Christian things. So we've ticked off all the things. We go to church, we pray before the meals, we do our devos every day, we have our God time. That's a phrase that's very popular now, done my God time. But as a result, rendering to very legalistic Christianity. We're always concerned about what others think and view of us. Once Christians think they have achieved this, then they start judging everyone else according to their own standard. And legalism is a true form of bondage and contrary to the teachings of Jesus. A Christian who understands, though, what it means to be saved by grace is like this woman in this passage. These Christians comprehend what it means to have received God's grace and mercy, his marital favor. In return, they're able to extend grace and mercy to others. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and give grace to help us in time of need. So my conclusion to this that I want to challenge you with is, are you going to be like the Pharisees that are just reclining with Jesus? Many of us we know Jesus, and we like to have him around. We like to be with the Jesus crowd. But there's a huge difference between reclining with Jesus or wiping his feet with tears and giving him all that is most precious to you. So many of you could be experiencing his presence, but not the freedom of his presence. So this is just what I would love to challenge you with, and is a challenge to me every day. Even being a missionary is not something that you've achieved or a standard that you've arrived in your Christian walk, but there's a lot of missionaries that are running on a lot of dry spirituality. They're very dry and burnt out because they're not engaging in a constant relationship with Jesus. And so it is really, really important to seek to engage Jesus in your life, in every aspect of your life, because he desires to be reclining at the table with you and desiring that you worship him with everything that you have, with everything God's given you, and with all the desire in your heart to worship him at his feet. And so may his word just be a blessing to you this morning. And would like to just share a little slide presentation with you about some of the things that God has been doing in Greece. Just while they're setting the PowerPoint up, for those of you that don't know me, my father started an organization many years ago. And in Greece, we only have about 30,000 believers in the entire country, about 12 million people. So it was really on his heart to reach Greece for Christ. So if you were to go to our website, Hellenic Ministries, Hellenic is a word that means the Greeks. It's another term for Greeks. And we've just called it Hellenic Ministries because we don't just do one thing, but we're trying to reach many of the needs of Greece. So many people have joined us in order to do church planting. We work amongst a lot of the refugee during the refugee crisis. A lot of these refugees have come through Greece. Our refugee ministry has really exploded. And so we have a lot of, we work amongst the Roma kids and have education program for them. And just a lot of other different ministries. But we're going to focus a little bit today on the maritime ministry. and we're going to see why here in a second. This is a beautiful campsite that God gave us. It's just a piece of land. It's almost like living on an island because we have to actually get there by boat. We don't have a road all the way in. And it was just a rocky, barren side of a hill, and we've been developing it for a number of years and use it to minister to kids and also to refugees. And that's where our boat is based, and this is where Brad and Carissa spent 3 months aboard Morningstar, and were a huge blessing to us, but this is where the boat is based in Greece, the Morningstar. Yep. So Broad Reach is the name of the maritime ministry, and we exist to serve others by proclaiming Christ, which is evangelism, discipling, and encouraging the body of Christ. Some may think, why a boat? So these are some geographics of where Greece is. And Greek sovereign land includes 6,000 islands and islets scattered in the Aegean and Ionian Seas, of which only 227 islands are inhabited. This is a truly unique phenomenon for the European continent. Greece has a coastline of 13,676 kilometers, which is the longest coastline in the Mediterranean Sea basin. The country has the third longest coastline in Europe. So this is the reason why we thought it was a very good idea to have boats to reach the islands. Next slide. So this is the boat that God gifted us many years ago. It served off the coast of California. It was a church about this size that had a vision, and someone donated his plans to build the boat, and it crossed the Pacific 4 times, reaching out to the Marshall Islands. And so in 1985, we were leased this boat for $1 a year, and then they sold it to us for $1. So it's been ministering in Greece since 1987. And as you can see, it's a fantastic tool to take youth groups out. So we do a lot of youth group outings and invest in the young people, as discipleship is a big part on my heart. We do men's retreats. And the one thing that I struggled was finding crew for this boat. And so after a while, I got frustrated, so I thought I'd just create my own crew. So I started having kids, and I had to wait a long time, change a lot of diapers, but now they're finally starting to kick in and be a great help. So, yeah, I have 4 wonderful kids. 2 girls are the oldest, Elizabeth and Allison, and then Jonathan and David are the youngest. And my wife is the hero for having them all and raising them. So we do two, because they're in school, we do 2 events together every year, and one is Christmas Boat, and we come alongside a port town that is very, very scenic and has a lot of people walking on the boardwalk, and we invite a lot of young people to come, and we use the boat as an attraction to draw people. We have Christmas music playing, a live band. We serve cookies and hot chocolate, and we engage with people about the meaning of Christmas. You're going to see a slide here of a Santa Claus, and we actually have my daughter does face painting, so that draws a lot of the children, and we have a Santa that sits on the helm, and all the parents bring the children, and then Santa witnesses to the parents, so it's a real good way to connect. And then he also gives a little bit of a message of why Santa has stolen Jesus's birthday, and that he should be the one that should be getting all the praise, not Santa. So, yeah, this is a great event that happens every winter, and Brad and Carissa were able to prepare the boat and also be involved in this outreach just before they left. Another trip that we do in August, we go to a lot of these islands that have very many isolated believers. And so they're very encouraged when someone comes and visits them. This is a small church we've been visiting for many years. And with Morningstar, we've been going there for about 20 years. And we're a little bit more intent on doing this more consistently now. So this would be the size of a large church on an island. And this, what you see here, are summer people that have gone to the island. And so they're attending the local church. So this would be like the front left quarter would be like the size of the church during the winter. And this man is a fisherman in a local village, and he started this church with a huge, with a lot of opposition. And so we're able to go as a family, and we usually take another family with us that we want to invest in. And we sing, and we just partake in their services and visit with them, and it's just a huge encouragement. So believers need, they need teaching, but they also need just other Christians, as they're very lonely and isolated on these islands. Here's another lady that been visiting over 20 years. She came to Greece as a tourist, married a Greek man who wasn't saved. She became a Christian, and through one of our trips, we were able to connect her unsaved daughter with a Christian at a university that she was going to, and she became a believer, married a believing husband, and so we're seeing the fruit of this. And it's very difficult to see fruit in your ministry in Greece. It takes a long time for this ground that's been held from Christianity for so long. So 98% are predominantly Orthodox, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's just a religion. So here is another way the Lord has been blessing the islands. This is a British man who was director of Mars Bar for Eastern Europe, quite a wealthy guy. And so because there's no church on the island, he has Bible studies in his home every summer. So we are able to go and gather all the believers on the island when we go there together and have fellowship. This lady here, Eleni, she became a Christian in New York. There's a few Christians on this island, but on her side of the island, she's the only believer. The priests have been trying to, when they found out that she's not Orthodox, they were trying to kick her off the island. Her husband, who's in his 90s, still hasn't believed, doesn't want to hear anything about the gospel, so she's living in a home where she has to almost secretly worship the Lord. And when we came to visit her again this year, she said, could you please have a church service with me? And I haven't had communion in ages. And so we were able to use the Morning Star for a little church, and we were able to have communion with her. It was very, very special. And I just realized how, even though I feel like we're such few believers in the country, there's other people in the same country that are really having a hard time not having fellowship. This is Ben Sanford, third generation kid who wants to go into missions. His parents and grandparents have been with New Tribes Mission, graduated from Moody and came for the summer, and he was so impacted with the need in Greece that he's decided to come back and work with us. And so he's doing an internship in Virginia. He's going to start raising his support to come back. So this is Ben. There's some things that God has been doing lately in our lives. It's people we've been investing in. This is Mike and Timos. I always feel it's so important that every believer needs to be discipling somebody. And so I'm always asking the Lord, who can I pour my life into? So either I'm going up just to do maintenance, I always just take somebody with me and invest in that person. So Mike on the right just finished high school this year, and he's been helping me, especially during the winter period. And Timos, he's going to go to the Greek army now, but as his Christian service, he decided to come and help us. And so I've been pouring my life into him too. So Island Reach is the vision that God's really placed in our heart right now, and that is to reach the islands and coastlines of Greece using boats to connect, proclaim, and encourage. And so we're really excited because we're seeing traction with this. So as you know, we've been given a boat by a missionary in the Azores Island who was actually impacted when he was a kid. He's from New Jersey, and he was very impacted by my father, who was returning from the jungles of Irian Jaya and giving a presentation at the church that supported my parents. He was from the same church. And I met him through the internet, and he said, I found out that online that you guys have a boat ministry in Greece, and because your dad really impacted my life, and that's why I'm a missionary today, I want to donate you this boat. So Robert Fettes is a Dutch guy. He's on my international council for the maritime ministry. And we've been together dreaming about this. And I said, would you be interested in buying and taking this boat, this donation, owning it, and bringing it to fruition under the vision in Greece? And so he, by faith, felt God wanted him to step forward and do this. So that's what he's done. Robert and his wife here, Fettes, his father actually was part of my training. in being prepared to run this boat. And so it's an honor to have him on our team. And so this is a partnership as this vision of having many boats is coming to fruition. This is last March in the Azores when I went with Robert to go check out the boat and see all the things that it needed. So this is where Brad is right now. And here's Brad and Carissa in Greece. Don't feel too sorry for them on a boat in the Mediterranean. I call them the honeymoon couple. But yeah, they had lots of work to do. And I really think that God was doing a wonderful work in their heart. And they were a huge blessing to us. So you can continue to pray and support them. So it's hard to explain to you that how much you have blessed Greece by somebody from this congregation coming and ministering to us and serving and washing our feet. And this is completely how we felt. They were just washing our feet. This is Simon and Katie. As I was praying earnestly about this vision, I'm like, God, how is this going to happen? Are we going to own these boats? Are we going to partner with people? This is an example of a retired couple that God put Greece on their heart, and specifically different certain islands. And they would come from April to October and serve. And they needed Bibles, and they found me online. And we engaged in a relationship, and their heart dovetailed with our vision. And so we were able to support them. And so for 6 years, they finally took their boat back to the UK as they're getting up in age also. But they ministered on this island here. It's called Poros. They had many, many contacts and gave many Bibles, and they just prayed. And they felt they were there to break the ground for Greeks to come in and spread the gospel some more. So this is the Morning Star and Rope Soul. The next picture here, this is another guy contacted me and said, I really have a heart for the Greek islands. Also a retiree. He has a small little boat here, kind of blue. And he said, I need 300 Bibles, and I want to be passing these out to people. So I was able to give him 300 Bibles. And he was sending me pictures of personal contacts that he made. As his engine kept breaking down, he kept engaging in relationships. And he saw that God was using these breakdowns to build relationships with people, and then he was giving the word of God to them. So this is a wonderful couple, just serving the Lord with what they have and not just aimlessly cruising around. That's another couple here, the Sailing Messenger. You can find them on YouTube, and their purpose is to be salt and light. They're just an adventurous young couple from Holland. They started in Holland and have gone through the Middle East. They're now down in Sudan. They came to Greece, and so we shared the vision with them, and we were able to contact them and encourage them. So every time I find a boater that's in Greece, I try to connect with them and share the vision and see where that will lead. This is a very large boat called Next Wave. It was in Greece for about 6-7 years in order to help with the refugee crisis, primarily in the beginning initially. And YWAM really had a burden for the Greek islands. And since I was the established boat ministry that's been there longer, we really were connecting with the leadership, and they're like, how can we engage? How can we work together? So I thought, why don't we get all the boats that are in Greece together and start having a conference every year and start getting this thing, get traction to this. And so we had our first little mini gathering of about 4 or 5 boaters that were in the country. And this was a great start. And I really feel that the vision is now, it's not just a theory, but it's taking root. And we're very sad because YWAM has removed the boat now because of some very intense times in Greece. They went to burn the boat down. The people on the island of Lesbos are so fed up with so many refugees that anybody was related to the refugee work, they were trying to destroy them. And so now the boat has been reallocated to the Caribbean. So we've lost this connection. Island Reach, what we're trying to do now is we're going to have a pennant, a flag, that everybody who wants to be under this umbrella vision will be flying this flag, and that way we'll have some cohesiveness and start building how we can work with each other and support each other. King's Fleet is also something that I've been part of for many years, and it's an international conference started in Northern Europe. And with a friend of mine, we've expanded. They're doing their second one, Lord willing, if COVID allows. We're having one in North America for the second time. And it's basically just bringing, most of them are very small boat ministries together, or people that own boats. And we hear each other's stories, and we pray for each other and engage in that way. And it's been a huge blessing, and this group is growing. So we are, this year at our property, at our camp, we're going to be hosting it for the fourth time in Greece. So it's a little bit of the display of how we serve these people. And so this is coming up in spring. So we really want you to be maybe mindful if you can, and pray for us, as you really think this is going to be, these conferences are very, very important. And last, we have this spring, every 3 years, our boat is taken out of the water. And to save on costs, we do this every 3 years instead of every year. And it's quite the endeavor. So we're going to close with two very small videos. Elizabeth, could you show the Island Reach one first and then the shipyard one? They're about 2-3 minutes each. And I would just want to, the Island Reach video, it just kind of gives you a little bit more the vision of what we want to accomplish. And I'm going to close afterwards with just a challenge that I have for you. So we'll just watch these couple videos first. Whoops, sorry. If technology wants to cooperate with us. There you go, you have to bring it over, yeah.
Hi, my name's David. I work aboard the Morning Star, and I'm standing on the south side of Athens in front of the three-island cruise ship, which is called Cosmos, which is the Greek word for people or world, such as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And every day, hundreds of tourists get on this ship to go to three islands south of Athens, Poros, Aegina, and Idra. And a few kilometers away from me is the port of Piraeus, where 16 million people come through every year to visit some of Greece's most famous islands like Mykonos and Santorini. And in the midst of the summer tourist season, Alex and I are praying that the Lord would raise up the full number of laborers to take the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves and sets free, to the islands and coastline of Greece. And we are praying for more laborers, for more boats, for more people to join with us and pray with us and partner with us. And we are calling this vision Island Reach. And it's not only a Hellenic Ministries project, it's a Great Commission command. 30 nautical miles to the south of me, we have friends Simon and Katie Kemp, and they are sowing their lives and using their boat for a life of prayer and witness and worship aboard their boat and on the island of Poros. We've connected with them, and they've connected with the Romanian family of believers there, and we are so excited to continue this friendship and this partnership in the gospel. 140 nautical miles to the northeast, YWAM have a boat called Next Wave, which is anchored on the island of Lesvos, right at the heart of the refugee story unfolding in Europe. And right here in this marina, we have a Christian family who own a boat here in front of me. And of course, the Morning Star, which is moored in Scorpionaria Bay, right in front of the beautiful Porto Astro campsite. And we are trusting that if something is stirring in your heart, to reach the islands and coastline of Greece and beyond the horizon with the gospel, we would love to speak to you and pray with you and to continue this conversation.
While they're getting the video ready, the last one, the challenge that I have that God's placed on my heart to share with everybody we come across here in North America is if God would have you consider adopting a Greek island. And maybe you can get a map of Greece or go on Google and just pray. Say, God, is there an island that you would like me to adopt? And there's many things that God will put in your heart. But you just start praying for this island. Start finding out what are the spiritual strongholds on this island, or how many Christians are on this island. And we're building a website now that we're going to try to connect people with the different islands so they can get information. And we really want to see where God is moving. And then as boats come, we want to place the boats to connect. Maybe God will support someone that's going to the island that God's put on your heart. Maybe you'll be able to go visit that island and get a greater burden. So this is just a challenge that I have. There's a lot that you can do right from here. So in order to encourage and break those bondages that have been held holding Greece in captivity for many years. So this is just our shipyard. Just give you an idea what our shipyard looks like.
Shipyard's important to keep the boat afloat and to keep it safe. It's a steel-hulled boat. And we really have to stay on top of things, and that's what we've been doing this period. We've had help from many quarters, from many countries, including Canada and England.
Welcome to Aegina. Just picking up some spare parts, and it's been a great blessing to be able to build relationships with shop owners and be able to share price with them.
We are in the Planarco shipyard. Every 3 years the boat comes out for maintenance. Behind me, everything inside and outside the boat in the red section has been thoroughly attacked and worked on, from piping to anti-fouling.
Just doing what has to be done in detail. Sanding, painting, and keeping the ship in good working order as far as the outside of the hull, and keeping all the nice, beautiful stainless steel in good shape.
On the inside, we've been focusing on the electrical upgrade that we have done to Morningstar, and just checking things, renewing some of the connections, and making sure everything's working in proper order, installing some new equipment. So safety is really important. Regular maintenance has to take place in the background. So we're just going over stuff in detail, painting the bilge here, making sure that the plates are good, and just changing a lot of things that needed changing. Besides work on the shipyard, we've had a great opportunity in order to share Christ with workers here on the yard and build relationships with them, and that's been great. We're on the last stretch of our shipyard time, and we just have to button up the boat, putting back hardware, propellers, transmission, piping, and painting. And then we should be done soon. So pray for us that we will be on time, on schedule. Beginning of June is when we want to get back in the water. And just pray for fruitfulness this summer and for the remaining of the year, that God will really, really use us to touch the lives of the unsaved, but also to encourage many of the believers.
Pray for the believers on this island and other islands too, that we can be an encouragement to them as we visit them. Pray that we'd be sons of encouragement like Barnabas in the book of Acts.
So you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Alex. I just want to close our service. I was just standing at the back there, and I just thought of a couple of verses, and they're very familiar verses, but Matthew chapter 28, it says, Jesus, just before he left this earth, to head back to his heavenly home, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then Jude, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." Would you stand with me?